Would you grab your swords and turn to the book of Acts in chapter 19? We're going to continue on from what we were talking about last week called anointed bones.
Hallelujah.
We all need to have anointed bones.
Thank you, Master.
Acts chapter 19.
Oh, thank you.
How many of you know God's on a move? And there's an urgency. There's an urgency for rescue. Now, how many of y'all know the devil's on the move? The Bible says he's seeking whom he can devour. He's a roaring lion looking whom he can devour. The Bible tells us not to make any place for the devil. You know, people can blame the devil, but the thing is they allow the devil to eat them up, right? In Acts 19 and verse 11, would you read it with me? Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, understand this. This was the anointing. In other words, in that period of time, the anointing that was on Paul was so great, and the anointing is something that you rub, right? That means anointing is rub, but we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that, right? Remember, that's the mantle. That's what came down from heaven. The dove that came upon Jesus is known as the anointing. He is the Holy Spirit, the mantle that comes down. And there's a mantle that comes when you and I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we get filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's a mantle and an anointing that comes upon our life, and there's a purpose for the power of God to be upon your life. And it isn't just for goosebumps, right? It's for service. Has everybody got it? And we talked about that there's three types of anointings, and the first anointing is salvation, where God draws you. The second anointing is priestly. That's when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you come and you know how to minister to the Lord. And then the third anointing is the kingly anointing, or warrior, where you become a warrior for Christ. Amen? Now we see here that God was doing unusual miracles through the hands of Paul. And what was happening is, he had aprons and handkerchiefs that the anointing, the presence of God, would rub off on material things, wouldn't it? And he would hand them out. And I've shared this testimony before about a woman that was at a meeting, an evangelist meeting, this guy named Shambach, this evangelist, and she came in there one night, and she asked Brother Shambach to put a piece of candy in his pocket, and he thought it was pretty crazy. Anyways, after the service, she came up and asked for the candy, and she took the candy, didn't see her for about a year, and she came back with her sister, and she said, "Do you remember me?" And of course, he said, "No," and she goes, "I'm the nut that put the candy in your pocket," and she goes, "Oh," he goes, "Yeah, I remember now." So anyways, her sister was in the nut house, and there wasn't anything that they could give her, except, and she was in a padded room, because they were concerned that she would try and kill herself. The only thing they could give her was candy. And this anointed piece of candy she took, and within 1 week she was out, because God delivered her. Why? Because she had demons, and the anointing destroys the yoke of bondages in people's lives. So God was doing unusual miracles through the hands of Paul, and he wants to do the same things through me and you. Amen? So we know that certain items have a presence of God, don't they? If they're anointed from God, there's an anointing. There's a presence of God. Now we know the devil has an anointing too. Those are called accursed items. And the devil would like to convince you to touch them and use them and so forth. It's amazing. How many of y'all would like to die for your job? How many of y'all would like to die for drugs? How many of y'all would like to die for a drink? How many of y'all would like to die for a cigarette? That's what people are doing. They're willing to die for those things. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, even in cigarettes, it says caution. Even in the natural realm, they say, don't smoke these. It's going to kill you. Who cares? But there's a worse death than natural. There's a spiritual one.
Amen.
And that's what the devil is trying to get to us. Does everybody understand that? So it's amazing. If you really start thinking about it, would you die for your job, for a cigarette, for a drink, or for dope? Would you actually die for them? Well, when you use them, you are. You begin to die for them. You're willing to die for that because it's killing you. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So we know that the devil has an anointing too, doesn't he? But God's anointing is greater. The whole thing is staying in position. Staying in position. Now, it's powerful because Paul was doing greater works because he had inherited something from Jesus. Remember, Paul was Saul, right? And when Saul had the encounter with the Lord, the anointing came upon Saul, didn't it? Amen? In fact, one of his servants came over and prayed with him, and the anointing came upon him. The Holy Spirit, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he did greater works. In fact, Paul was doing greater works than Jesus, because he was able to do it. I mean, Jesus wasn't laying hands on handkerchiefs and going out, was he? No, or aprons or whatever. He didn't need to, of course. You know, I mean, he just spoke the word, and things got done over there. But in other words, more things were being done through, because Jesus was like our before us, and so because he was before us, right? Now you and I are supposed to be doing greater works, and it's supposed to be handed down, isn't it? Because that's a lineage inheritance. How many of you all been inherited something from your family? Amen? Amen. You may inherit a character from your mother or your father, good and bad. You're just like your mother, or you're just like your father, right? Yeah, well, I inherited that demon or that character or whatever, right? I mean, we all heard that before, right? You're just like such and such. Or else, why can't you be like such and such? Because I'm like you, you know? But, hallelujah. So those things have been inherited, right? So what we want to do is we want to learn what we've inherited, get rid of the garbage, and take the good. But the whole thing is Hosea 4:6, my children are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Wow. So if you don't know what your inheritance is, you don't get it. There are people still trying to struggle with their garbage, and they still don't understand where it came from. But it gets triggered. Lust, anger, hatred, jealousy, all these other things that have been passed down. Disobedience. Well, that started right in the garden, didn't it? That's been passed down. But see, now God has given us His Holy Spirit where you and I can have dominion over these works. But the whole thing is to stay in that position in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because see, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you've got dominion over nothing. The world has dominion over you. And when the devil says something, you go, yeah, okay. There's no struggle, no fight. You just go, okay, I'll do it. You know, it's like the blind leading the blind, right? The devil's blinded, isn't he? Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 25. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 1. Praise God. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. There were 10 virgins. They went out to meet the bridegroom. The representation of virgins means washed by the blood. Everybody got it? Washed by the blood. You got a pen? Praise God. Use it. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. There was 10 of them. 10 virgins. All washed by the blood, right? Glory to God. 5 of them alive and 5 stupid. I mean foolish. Five of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish, but they were all washed by the blood. That means they were believers, weren't they? Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't know who they were. Hello? They didn't know the necessary requirements. They didn't know what their inheritance was about. But the wise took oil on their vessels with their lamps. They knew, didn't they? They knew what to do. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Oh, pray for me. It's too late. Pray for me. It's too late. Pray for yourself. But the wise answered, saying, no. Make your yeses yeses and your no, no. They said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Listen, I paid the price to get this. If you don't know who you are and you're not willing to pay the price, then so be it. See, they're willing to pay the price for the anointing. Do you understand that? They're willing to pay the price to have their vessels continue to be filled with the anointing and the oil so that they could be a light. So there was 5 foolish and 5 wise. How many of y'all want to be wise? Praise God. Now listen, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Oh, were they foolish. They got put right out of position, didn't they? And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open up! We're back! But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Let me share something with you. The Lord says, I know those who are mine. See, because they know him. Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now we want to be wise virgins, don't we? Amen. We want to keep ourselves filled with the anointing. We want to continue to walk in the Spirit, because the ways of the world will choke you to death. And remember, the Bible says that the devil came to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. Now, you know what? The foolish virgins did not know who they were. Okay, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, let's go. I'm done. Continue on with normal life. Let me tell you, when you become a child of the Most High God, you're no longer a normal life.
Amen.
You're an eternal life. If you want to stay in the normal life, then you become temporary. You know what? They didn't know their inheritance. You know, there's such foolishness that our teachings and preachings of our areas, oh, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and it's all over with. Come on, you can have eternal life. No problem. And that's it. Don't have to do nothing. He paid the price for you. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He paid the price that you and I could enter, didn't he? But it's our responsibility to stay in. Hello? Praise God. So we want to be wise virgins, don't we? So things are inherited, aren't they? Remember, things are taught. That's why he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you reject my laws, I will reject your children, right? So some of our children are lost because of the way we were, but as you and I get back in line, our children will be rescued because they inherited that curse. Remember, when a curse comes, it always prevents people from growing. A curse always prevents people from growing. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Just want to refresh some things here. Is everybody with me? Did I lose anybody? Everybody's all right? Numbers chapter 18 and verse 20. 20 and 21. Then the Lord said to Aaron. Now, Aaron was the priest, wasn't he? And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land. In other words, you're not going to inherit the things of the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Praise God. Let me tell you, when you inherit God, you got everything, don't you? He said, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Now understand that Aaron and the Levi, they were not inheriting the things of the land. They were inheriting, their inheritance was the portion of God. Because they were, what were they doing? The Levites were handling the things in the house of God, weren't they? You know what they were? Servants to the Lord. See, inheritance comes through service. Hello? Comes through service. Remember, the word tells us who you're going to serve. You can't serve the world and you can't serve God at the same time, can you? You can't serve two masters. So inheritance comes through serving, doesn't it? Amen? Go to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Oh, hallelujah. And remember, we talked about inheritance, right? Now, we know that there's a physical inheritance, and there's a spiritual inheritance, isn't there? Amen. And in the physical arena, you may have certain characters, or you may look like your mother or father or whatever. Those are things that you've inherited. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's a spiritual inheritance. Well, we can either, certain characters, demonic forces or spiritual blessing. The Bible tells us that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? There are spiritual blessings that we can inherit also in our life. And there's also spiritual arenas of demonic forces that we can inherit in our life. Some children are born with demonic activity right there. Once that child has come out of the womb, that kid's got a demon. I believe I was one of them. Loaded. Hallelujah. When they popped me out of my mother's womb, they said, trick or treat. Hallelujah. But God had another plan.
Yeah.
He said, my son. But the world labeled me something different. Thank God. I followed the label of heavenly, not hellly. Ezekiel chapter 1, I mean chapter 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me on a down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones.
Yes.
Then he caused me to pass by them. He caused me to pass by them. All around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Very, very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. He got out of that one, didn't he? Good answer. See, but you can only go that way so long. Then he's going to say, no, I want to know the answer. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of
the Lord. Whew.
Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall what? Oh, to God. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, glory to God. The one of the things that he said, which was very profound, is sometimes we lose sight. We know that Ezekiel was prophesying, but you got to understand something. He was not prophesying something that he was assuming. He was prophesying the word of the Lord. When prophecy of the word of the Lord comes, it comes to pass. And it also bears good fruit. Has everybody got it? It doesn't bear bad fruit. It always bears good fruit. And it always brings life. It brings a change and life. So the word of the Lord to those dry, dead bones, and he said, I speak life into you. I speak life. So we see here that, now listen, there was a spiritual inheritance that was coming forth, because he said breath, and there was a physical inheritance for the bones were going to become what? Alive. Do you understand that? Because the Bible says and a great army came out of this. So do you understand that there was a twofold inheritance coming? Life in the spirit and life in the flesh. Does everybody understand that? And it had to come through what? The word of what? The Lord. Ooh. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. That's why the Bible says the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Because as you speak it, it's going forward. As you speak it, it's going forward. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, the only thing you need to hear is the word. Praise God. The word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 12, would you read it with me? For the word of the Lord is living. The word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see here that the word of the Lord penetrates your spirit, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your flesh, because the marrow, your bones, is what produces red blood cells. Amen? So it penetrates that. It brings healing. It brings freedom. And it also convicts, doesn't it? I mean, y'all been convicted by the word. Amen. Praise God. Get ready. So the word of God pierces even the spirit, soul, and body. What does it do? It brings life, doesn't it? It brings life. That's why every day you should bind yourself to the stripes of Jesus. You should speak, Lord, no weapon formed against me can prosper, that by your stripes I am healed. What are you doing? You're speaking it in. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know how many people are still waiting on Jesus? You know how many people, Jesus is still waiting on them? The Bible says, draw unto God and God will draw unto you. Hello? Why? Because it's already done. When he said it's finished, he said, you got it all. You got it all, but you don't know what you have. Don't know who you are. Don't know what you've inherited. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Does anybody got a page number?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Read it with me. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make what? Atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, the life of the flesh is where?
In the blood.
It's in the blood. In other words, there's an inheritance that's coming down that's affecting your physical life, which is results of damaging or curses or sickness, disease that's in your blood, isn't it? Amen. The life of the flesh is in your blood. That's why we don't want to inherit sicknesses and diseases that come down family lines. How are they inherited? By sins of our forefathers. Disobedience. That's what brings, that contaminates the blood. Has everybody got it? Okay. Now go to John 6. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Would you read it with me? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So we got to understand something, that there's two arenas that we inherit. The spiritual and the what? Physical or the natural. Has everybody got it? And let me share something with you which is very important. What you inherit spiritually affects you physically. Everybody got it? What you inherit spiritually will affect you physically. It's like radioactive material walking around in your pocket. It's going to eventually affect your skin. That's a spiritual arena, the radioactive material. Once you get rid of that spirit, the other parts begin to heal, doesn't it? Amen? So what you also do in the flesh will affect your spiritual. Has everybody got it? So it works in both ways, doesn't it? Because certain things can be inherited. Remember, the devil is trying to get into your inheritance line. In fact, didn't God the Father, go to Genesis. Oh, to God be the glory. In Genesis chapter something. I think Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord says to the serpent in verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And you on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity, which means hatred, between you and the woman, and between what? Your seed and her seed. That means things that will be handed down, won't they? Amen. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So you got to understand that the devil knew that God was going to send seed into the world to come after him. So what's he been trying to do? Trying to get in their inheritance lines, in their lineage life. Has everybody got it? Is everybody with me? Amen. And he's still trying to do it now, isn't he? But see, you and I have an opportunity to stop all that garbage. That's why he's chosen us. See, he's been looking for someone to stop it. But people are too caught up in selfishness and greed. The ways of the world will choke you, move you out of position, and then that stuff continues to go down the family line and affects our children and grandchildren and so forth. So we see, does everybody understand about the spiritual inheritance and the physical inheritance now? Amen? Praise God. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, our Lord said something to me very strange today. And I'm still pondering it. And he said to me, repentance allows us access to the curse. Okay? In other words, the arena where the curse is coming from, the origination. Repentance allows us access to it. But until you fulfill, that curse can't be removed. Now let me explain this to you. Let's say our forefathers, right, were disobedient to God. It brought a curse down the family line. Until you fulfill what they were supposed to do, that curse is still there. So you can break it and repent for it. That means you've got access to it. Now you must fulfill what they didn't do. Then it goes. Does everybody understand that?
Amen. Amen.
The curse will not be gone until you fulfill what was supposed to have been done. And it's walking upright with God, isn't it?
Amen.
So he kept saying to me, he said it to me more than once today, he said, Guy, repentance allows you access to the curse, I'm thinking. And also I saw a picture of a shovel and digging. and digging. Some of you all in the labor pool, you know what I'm talking about. You're digging. Praise God. Now you got to walk upright and get out of that curse, right? God will make a way of escape. As long as you obey out there, right? Or you'd be digging there for a long time. So anyways, I kept seeing digging, and then it was like, okay, now that you see it, now you must fulfill what they didn't do. And then you're no longer under the curse. Now check this out. I better hold off on that. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, turn to Matthew 5, I'll show you. Praise God. We'll go back to Hebrews in a minute. Go to Matthew 5. Now, you recall that God gave the law to Moses, didn't he? And we're going to go review some of this. And the word says that anyone who broke the law was under a curse. In Matthew 5, in verse 17, it says, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what?
Fulfill.
For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is what?
Fulfilled.
Wow. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So remember, Jesus came to fulfill the law because they couldn't. That's why you and I are now removed from the curse of the law. Does everybody understand that? Because he came to what? Fulfill what they couldn't. Does everybody got it? Why? Because what did he do? He walked upright with no sin. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. He fulfilled it. So you and I are loose from that curse, aren't we? Does everybody understand it? As long as you continue to fulfill it. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost. Okay. Go to Isaiah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10. Yeah. So remember, repentance allows us access to the curse. Fulfillment removes it. That's why it's service, isn't it? Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 27 in Isaiah 10. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away from your shoulder. Isn't a curse a burden?
Yeah.
And his yoke from your neck. Who's his? Darkness. And the yoke will be destroyed because of what? The anointing. Who's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. Now who's Christ? The anointed one and his anointing. Does everybody understand that? And the yoke, the curse, will be destroyed. Because, see, only the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of your inheritance, gives you the power and the strength to walk uprightly so you can fulfill what your forefathers could not. Hello? That's why we go to spiritual roots and areas of our past and repent for our families associating with darkness, because when you rebel, you're associating with darkness. We're going to do a teaching next Tuesday about the spirit of Judas. And what happens is then that opens up that arena of darkness. See, the word says, and if you even look in the where Samson touched a dead body, he brought a curse, didn't he? Amen? They weren't supposed to do those certain things. Remember, sin is an association of fellowship with darkness. The transgression is the act, right? That brings a curse, and that brings judgment from God. Is everybody with me? So all of these things that come down, remember, the devil can't get to you until there's a curse brought. Does everybody understand that? In other words, when you associate with the fellowship of the devil, he's just speaking to you, isn't he? He can't touch you yet. Once you touch and agree with what he says, you commit a transgression. That transgression brings a curse, doesn't it? Hello? Now the devil is back in your family line. Is everybody with me? That's where you must repent, right? And then go back and fulfill what you were supposed to do so that you can come, that curse can be what? Removed. So remember, repentance allows you access to the curse. Fulfillment removes the curse. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews 3. Thank you, Father. I didn't know we were going there, but you did. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3. So so many people are going, well, I repented for that. I broke that off. Well, shut up and start walking it now. And get rid of it. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3. And verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Is everybody with me? Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Remember, Moses was Jesus' spiritual father, coming down the family line. Does everybody understand that? Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is who? God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. Here we go again. What was he doing? Fulfilling. Fulfilling. Remember, that's one of the reasons why the Hebrews were in captivity for 400 years. Disobedience. Has everybody got it? For a testimony of those things which would be spoken, what? Afterwards. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if means you got a choice. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So you must fulfill. Amen. You must fulfill your call. Does everybody see that? So we see here that Jesus inherited from the family line lineage things from Moses. Moses was Jesus' spiritual forefather. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Let's go a little bit further. Go to Malachi 4. Malachi 4. Oh, hallelujah. Now you got to understand something else, which is very important. It was Jesus' spiritual father, but in the natural arena, wasn't it? Does everybody understand that? Passed down from Moses to Jesus. But who's Jesus' true father? Amen. 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 So he was inheriting that inheritance, wasn't he, from heaven? And then the physical, wasn't he? But he still had spiritual fathers that he was under, that he was inheriting from them. So everybody got it? But it has to be in service, doesn't it? It's got to be inherited some way. In other words, you must fulfill or continue to go on what they started. Is everybody with me? Okay. Where did I say? Malachi 4. In verse 4, it says, would you read it with me? Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we see here comes another spiritual father, Elijah. From where? He's talking about from Moses to Elijah. Does everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he will what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the what? To the children. And the hearts of the children to their fathers. What? Their spiritual fathers. Lest I come and strike the earth with a what? What was he saying? Fulfill or the curse will be there. Fulfill or the curse will be there. Has everybody got it? Ooh. So we see Jesus had two spiritual fathers, Elijah and Moses. Now, rejecting a lineage inheritance brings a curse. In other words, if you're not willing to fulfill it, that curse is still there, doesn't it? And that's what stops people from going forward. That's why, and it also stops the flow of the anointing of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. People are still screaming out and crying, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Because they're not fulfilling what God has asked them to do. It stops it. Is everybody with me? Please turn the tape over. Matthew 17. Now after my encounter with the Lord, and the Lord put me under a ministry, I served under Benny Hinn's ministry, and then they put me under another ministry where I served also. So as I was serving on these ministries, these men became my spiritual fathers. I inherited by service, didn't I? Has everybody got it? I inherited it, and I was underneath another man of God who was a prophet, prophetic, and his ministry is still going very strong. And some of the characters that were passed on to me are manifesting me now. And those who come under and serve under this ministry, those characters and those lineage blessings will pass down to those who serve under here. And that's how God works. Remember, what you have inherited is what you are. Hello? Who you are right now is because of what you've inherited, one way or another. Now, you can't blame nobody because now God is making way for you to get access to that curse and remove it. In Matthew chapter 17, in verses 1 through 5. Would you read it with me? Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make your three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, this is powerful. Jesus said, I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will what?
Rebuild it.
What was he talking about? His three places of his inheritance, wasn't he? Does everybody understand that? Who was there? Jesus, Elijah, and who else?
Moses.
He was fulfilling the tabernacle, wasn't he? He was fulfilling everything, wasn't he? What was he doing? He was receiving an inheritance. Now listen, Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the Spirit. Jesus came to fulfill the law, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Remember, John the Baptist, who was a messenger from God, right? He came in the spirit of Elijah, didn't he? Hallelujah. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. But John the Baptist never rose anybody from the dead. Either did Moses, did he? Elijah did, though, didn't he? That's why Jesus did. Has everybody got it? Now, John the Baptist was supposed to come in the spirit of Elijah. What didn't he? But he refused his inheritance. He rejected it. We'll go over this in a minute. I want to talk about Moses came as the law, and it says that the word became what?
Flesh.
That means the law became flesh. Do you understand that? When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law because his flesh fulfilled it. Is everybody with me? Okay. Elijah, who was taken up alive, right? He never died. Now we know that it spiritually means in the body of Christ those who are dead in Christ will rise and those who are alive in Christ will be taken. He talks about the rapture there. But that's prophetic time there. And I'm not talking about that right now. Right now I'm talking about inheritance and lineage, the things that are passed down. Is everybody with me? Moses, as a child, was wrapped in a mantle, wasn't he? In fact, the mantle is a part of a dress of the Hebrews. They used to wear it a little bit lower, and they would take it off when they needed to. And usually it was colorful. Now, Moses was wrapped in this mantle, wasn't he? Put in the basket and sent. Right? The mantle is a representation of the anointing of God. It's passed down. He also passed on his mantle to who? Joshua. And the word Joshua means Jesus. Is everybody with me? So you see that all of this was passed on, wasn't it? Moses didn't pass it on to anyone else but Joshua. And Joshua was his servant, wasn't he? Amen. Very good. Now, go to 1 Kings 19. Hallelujah. Did I lose anybody? Everybody's all right? Praise God. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19:19. Now Elijah departed from there, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his what? His mantle on him. What was he doing? He was calling him. He was inviting him to follow. What? And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." Now that offended Elijah. And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Elijah got the hint. You can't go back to the world. You must leave your mother and father and be joined to the Lord. Hello? So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment. Everything that used to support Elijah, his job, his family, everything. What did he do? He cooked it. He said, bye-bye, and he cooked it. And he gave it to the people, and they ate, and he rose and followed Elijah and became his what? His servant. So, Elijah was about to inherit the mantle, wasn't he? Hello? Praise God. The Bible says you can't serve two masters, right? So, Elijah immediately cooked it all. That's why I said, would you die for your job? Would you die for a drink? Would you die for drugs? Would you die for a cigarette? Would you die for pornography? Would you die for it? Would you willingly give up everything to receive the inheritance of the world, which is death, hell, and the grave, or receive the inheritance from heaven? Oh, to God be the glory. Elijah wanted what Elijah had. You've got to want it. You've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. That's the price. You can't figure it out. You can't go by your feelings. You must just obey and go. Amen? You can't let go. Luke 1. Somebody's got to stop these incestual curses. Somebody's got to stop this lineage that comes down our family lines. Somebody's got to be willing to pay the price. Somebody's got to be willing to pay the price. And let me explain something to you. Remember, Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. If you do not have a prayer life, you cannot die. You die in prayer. That's it. No prayer, no death. You can go to 16 services a day. He's not interested in sacrifices. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you don't have a prayer life, you can never die to yourself. Hello?
Amen.
Okay. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name what?
John.
And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his what? Hallelujah. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of what?
Elijah.
To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know that's what God is doing with us. We are the forerunners of the return of Christ. You and I are now walking in the spirit of Elijah, the same spirit that John the Baptist was walking in. But the thing is you must know who you are and receive your inheritance and walk upright, or you won't walk in it. Is everybody with me? Praise be to God. So we see John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah, wasn't he? Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 19. John chapter 1 and verse 19. Read it with me, will you? Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Wasn't Jesus tempted the same way? If you are the Son of God, do this. Remember, that was always trying to challenge you to see if you know who you are. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the what? Christ. Then they said to him, well then, are you Elijah? And he said, I am what? Not. What did he just do? He rejected his inheritance, didn't he? He said, I'm not Elijah. But he was. Right? Are you the prophet? And he said, no. Then they said to him, well, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So he denied who he was. Oh, the devil loves to do that. He wants to disqualify us, doesn't he? He wants us to not know who we are. Remember, his greatest weapon is what? Deception. And what's his power?
Fear.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Go to verse 21. Oh, we already were. Never mind. Praise God. No, go to Mark 16. Yes, Mark 16. Come on.
Well, I hate when he goes there. Because this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you are. When you're willing to receive your inheritance. When you know who your forefather, your spiritual fathers are. Paul even said that there's many fathers, isn't there? Or there's not many fathers. There's many teachers and so forth, but there's not many fathers. And verse 16, would you read it with me? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What's the word believe mean? Well, if you're a follower, what are you doing? You're fulfilling, aren't you? And the curse is being removed, isn't it? And these signs will follow those who follow me. In my name they will what? They will cast out demons. That means you have dominion over darkness, won't you? You'll have power. And they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Finally get a tongue. And they'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what?
Recover.
Every believer is supposed to be doing this. This is their inheritance. This is their lineage. Does everybody understand that? That's why some organizations are still walking in the anointing of salvation. And that's it. They can't go any further. Why? Because the curse is there. They rejected their inheritance. Does everybody understand that? And that's all they know about is brimstone and hell and salvation. But they deny the power. Hello? Because why? They rejected their inheritance, just like John did. He rejected who he was. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Signs will follow, won't they? Signs are supposed to follow us. If signs are not following us, something's not right. Something's not right. We're not right somewhere along the line. Signs should be following us. The power and anointing of the Spirit of God should be upon us. Signs should be following in one way or another. Or there could be a curse there, because if you're not growing, then something's not right. John 3. Oh, hallelujah. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to do everything it takes? Not just one day. Every day of your life. You know, it's not a game. It's not a game, man. It's a matter of life and death. People lose sight. They lose sight, you know. We're doing our monthly newsletter, and the Holy Spirit gave me a word. And the title of it is called Reality Check. It talks about the temporary and the eternal realm. You know, even as believers, people get blinded. You know, they get blinded. And you can't tell a blind man what color, if he's never seen before, you can't tell him the car's red because he doesn't know what red is. That's what the devil does, is spiritually blinds people to where they can't hear, they can't see. The only thing they want to do is fulfill the flesh. That means there's demonic activity there. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 3 and verse 27. Start at 26. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. These were his disciples. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven.
You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must what? He must increase. In other words, but I must decrease. In other words, he will not increase until we decrease. He knew that. I must decrease so that he can increase in my life. That means denying yourself, isn't it? Go to Acts 10. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 10. And verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who?
The devil.
Man, you can't kick the devil's butt without the anointing. For God was what? Well, God represents the anointing, right? Amen? The anointing represents the presence of God. You're fighting for the presence of God, aren't you, every day? You're fighting for the presence of God. The devil's trying to get you to come out of the presence of God. So we see the anointing was through what? The Holy Spirit. And it was the only way that you're going to defeat the powers of darkness. Through the power of God Almighty. Hello? Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Now we know that Elijah was following Elijah, right? And he was, and I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but as because I think we shared some of this before, but as he began to follow him, and a lot of obstacles came in his way. Many obstacles came in his way, but he was willing to do whatever it took because he wanted what Elijah had. And that was the anointing, the presence of God in his life. And in verse 6 it said, then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. He was determined not to leave, no matter what. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing him at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and as it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry land. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away. Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. It shall be so for you, but if not, it will not be. Then it happened as they continued on and walked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire, separated the two of them. Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, my father. He was a spiritual father, wasn't he? The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he also took up the what? Mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? So when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed down, bowed to the ground before him. So what did they say? They saw the transference of the anointing, didn't they? They saw the mantle come down, didn't they? Hello? Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to 2 Kings 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Is everybody all right? Amen. Are you willing to pay the price?
Yes.
See, Elisha was going through the process of service. The first, you know, he had to go from death. The Gilgal he had to go through was a representation of death to self or of the world. Right? That's where the salvation comes from. Bethel was a representation of the house of God. He had to make the choice to follow, didn't he? Jericho was a place of rest and refreshing, which would bring sight. And the Jordan was the process of receiving promises. So there was a process that you must go through. So everybody got it? Should I repeat that again? Okay. Gilgal, which you can read in 2 Kings chapter 2, where, starting at verse 1, Gilgal is the place of death to self, salvation. Bethel was the house of God, or was the place of choice of who you were going to serve. Jericho was the place of rest and refreshing where sight would come, and the Jordan meant the promises to be received. Has everybody got it? Praise God. If you didn't, get the tape. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 through... I mean, 2 Kings chapter 5, sorry. 2 Kings chapter 5. And verse, starting at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the man wanted to get healed. Amen? So he wanted to get healed, and one of his wife's servants was a Jew, and she knew about Elijah, right? Elisha. So they sent word, and Naaman wanted to go over there. So in verse 9 it says, Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. What's Jordan mean? Place of what? Promise. And your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Well, he didn't want to do that. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand over me, and on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over me, and I'll be healed. Right? Well, it didn't happen that way, so he was very upset. Anyways, he finally listened. He dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and God healed him. Amen? Now look, there's something that happens. Now, Elisha's servant, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to try and find a shortcut for you. And go to verse 25. Because Naaman wanted to give Elisha some money and material. And Elisha said, no, I don't want it. But his servant heard him. Now when he went and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, what did you do, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Now we know he was lying. Because what he actually did is, and I'm going to have to back up a little bit. Go to verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naam, the Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought, but as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. What was he chasing?
Money.
He didn't want the anointing. He wanted it both. So he went after the money instead of the anointing. Has everybody got it? So he caught Naaman, and Naaman blessed him with all the goods. And so he comes back and stands before Elisha, his servant, and he says, man, wasn't my spirit with you? Don't you think I saw what went on? And go to verse 26. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out of his presence, leprosy as white as snow. And he died. And he died. The man that is supposed to receive the inheritance of the anointing of the double portion that was Elijah's servant, disobeyed, went after money and material things, and chose not to follow the ways of God, and died. And Elisha had no one to pass the anointing or mantle onto. Does everybody understand that? Ooh. See, the mantle and the anointing never dies. It gets passed on, doesn't it? Go to 2 Kings 13. In verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Then Elijah died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands of Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders and put the man in the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet. Why? Because Elijah took the anointing with him to the grave. Does everybody got it? He took the anointing with him to the grave. So when they threw a dead man's body in there, that touched that anointing. Remember we talked about how God did wonderful miracles through the hands of Paul, that anointing that was on the material, the anointing was still on Elijah's bones. Here, Elijah could not pass it on. Because his servant was disobedient, went towards the ways of the world instead of fulfilling what God called him to do. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. John 16. Now, I want you to know something. When I heard this message, I began to weep and cry. I was devastated, and I started crying out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I want that anointing. And he gave me a vision instantly, and I saw him standing next to the grave of Elijah. And he took out his hand and he pointed it towards me and he said, I went and got the anointing for you. See, Jesus had to go to hell to get the anointing for his church. Now, I was at a service when I heard part of this message, and I heard this here, and I was standing in the service, and all of a sudden when I saw that, I began weeping and crying, and my heart was ripped because I wanted that anointing so badly. And when the Lord gave me that vision and he said that, then a man of God came over me and said, God just put a new mantle on you. Now that was my confirmation what Jesus did for the church, for his people. Does everybody understand it? Now, you and I have got to get in lineage line and get and fulfill what God has for us, don't we? Amen. And it gets passed down. Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 16. So Jesus went and got it for me and you, man.
Amen.
But now we've got to follow him and fulfill what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen. That's why you can't walk by sight. See, when you know what's yours, you just go do it. You walk upright. You stay in line. You walk in divine order. You can't allow the cares of the world, material, and all kinds of things to take away your inheritance. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and what? Declare it to you. Now, Jesus went and got it, didn't He? And who's going to declare it to you? See, the Holy Spirit is the mantle of God. That's why He's your guaranteed down payment for your inheritance. He's the one that distributes the rest of your inheritance depending on how upright you walk. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and what? Declare it to you. It's yours. The whole thing is you can't go back. You cannot walk with God with your back facing Him. You must walk with Him with your face facing Him. Amen? And we'll close at Acts 1. Is everybody all right? Now, in verse 4, Jesus was getting ready to depart. He rose from the dead. He was with His disciples 40 days. He was getting ready to leave. And in verse 4, it says, being assembled together with them, He what? He commanded them. He commanded them. He didn't ask them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the what? Promise of the Father. Wow, glory! Wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. As a matter of fact, 10 days from now, He said. Because that was the day of Pentecost. Okay, so the Pente means 5, so it would have been 50. So Jesus rose from the day, when He rose from the dead, He hung around on the earth for 40 days, and 10 days after that, and He left on the 40th day. Did Moses hang out with God 40 days? Well, God hung out with man 40 days. Hello? In His glorified body. Do you see the lineage? Come down. Amen? And then 10 days after that, God poured out His Spirit. Now, the bummer part was is there was around 500 disciples He spoke to. Now, there was the feast going on. 380 of them chose to go to the feast and disobey God. Only 120 of them received the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The other 380 went to the feast of the world. Hello? Now, we know it was one of the feasts of the Lord, but the Lord was saying, listen, I fulfilled it. Now come after Me. Come and get My promise. But you know what they did? They went to the tradition instead of obeying God. Amen. And the other 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they went and they declared and did signs and wonders. Therefore, when they had heard, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the what? End of the earth. Why? Because the mantle was now put on them that He went and got. The same mantle of Elijah went upon Him. Now, we're walking in the anointing of Elijah and Moses right now on this earth. Amen. Moses represents the law, doesn't it? Amen. And Elijah represents the Spirit and the power. But see, you and I walk in both, don't we? Because the Bible says that the law has been put in your mind or your spirit. It's through in the book of Ezekiel. And I will give you a new heart, my spirit, and cause you to walk upright, and I'll put my laws in your mind. So see, we're already walking in it. The whole thing is people don't know it. If you don't know who you are, as a man thinketh, so he is. The devil can convince you, then that's who you become. Remember, the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. So know who you are and receive the anointing that God has for you and the mantle that comes down to you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're going to anoint our bones. Hallelujah. Let the fire shoot through our bones, Lord. Remove all fear, doubt, and unbelief. And as we walk upright and become pleasing to you and we earn your trust, Lord, we ask for the double portion to be manifested in us and through us. To speak your word, to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, and to declare your word boldly with signs and wonders. I speak this to each and every one in this room. And we promise to give you, Lord, all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.